at verses 6 through 11 this morning, afternoon, whatever it is. Snow day got us all messed up, doesn't it? In verse, just for context's sake so we understand, let's go back to verse number 1 and we'll read through verse number 11. The Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Heavenly Father, I need you this afternoon. Lord, I do not have any power or any ability in and of myself. Lord, it is easy to try and lean on myself, but in this moment, Lord, I want to lean on you. I don't want to give, Lord, what I have come up with. I want to give the Word of God. I want to preach, thus saith the Lord. Father, I pray that you will forgive me of my many sins, many shortcomings where I have failed you. Lord, allow me to preach to your people with a right heart and in your Holy Spirit. Give me your wisdom. Give me your power. Give me your strength. Lord, I be abased and you be exalted. I be brought low, Lord, and you be lifted up high. I ask this in Jesus' holy name as I pray and as I preach. Amen. In chapter number 9, last week we saw the Lord perform this incredible miracle of giving the man sight, and I read it to you again this morning. And the interesting thing about this is this man had been born blind, so he had never had the sight that you and I enjoy. He had never understood what that was like. This story is not a restoration of what previously existed in the man. It is creation of what was never there. Jesus, in these verses that we've read this morning, created and changed and improved this man's entire life. And so that's what I want to look at. We looked at the first 5 verses last week, and with the Lord's help, we'll get through a few more this morning or this afternoon. Man, this is going to be hard to say this afternoon. That just lets you know how quickly habit takes hold of us. Amen? So let us look a little bit closer at these verses, beginning in verse number 6. We'll waste no more time, get right into the Word of God. Now the Bible says that when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now we know in that first part of verse number 6, when he had thus spoken, he had already said that he must work the works of him that sent me. And I believe that's pertinent here in just a moment as we look at verse number 7 in a few minutes. And then in verse number 5, he reiterated a point that he had given in chapter number 8 and verse number 12, where he said that he was the light of the world. And thank God for that. In chapter number 8, he was the moral light, or became the moral light of the world, was showing himself to the Pharisees as the moral light. But here, he's both the mental and the physical light to this man and to all the people that are sitting around. Not only is that way, but he's the spiritual light. And that's what he's revealing himself as here, as he done in verse number, or in chapter number 8, and now again in chapter number 9, he begins to tell them. But John, in his writing of the book of John, the Apostle John, not John the Baptist, of course, the Apostle John is writing, and he tells us about the curing of this man's blindness. The Bible says in verse number 6, and I know I've read that, but the Bible says that he spat on the ground. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I checked when it came to getting somebody well, that's a rather unorthodox method, wouldn't you say? I was reading and I looked up the word spit throughout the Word of God, and I didn't find anywhere else except for two times with Jesus where that spit was used in a positive way, where it was used in a sense of being helpful. There are some commentators that said that they believed that spit had medicinal purposes, or they believed that spit had medicinal purposes in those days. I'm not sure that I agree with that because of the connotation of the Word of God and the way that the Word of God talks about people being spit. And if you remember, there's one famous person that was spit on in the Word of God, and it was not in a positive light. Y'all remember when Jesus was carried to the cross? What did they do? They buffeted him. They spit on him. This is not a good thing necessarily that's happening. But Jesus did this spit intentionally for the benefit of the man. Now, I don't fully understand all of what Jesus did here, but I do know that it had never been done before until Jesus came along. This lets me know that Jesus is, in fact, a new and a living way. Amen? He's not one way of many ways. He is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so this rather unorthodox way to the Christians or to the religious elites in that day, in that time, this probably seemed extremely unnecessary. I mean, here's this man who needs healing. Here's this man who needs to be cured from blindness. And instead of just speaking the word as he could have done, Jesus spits on the ground. I promise you we're going somewhere with this. Because some of you are looking at me kind of crazy. Jesus used something in this little verse here, in this little action, that could only be distinguished by those who believed in Him. The action that Jesus did here, it kind of made me think of 1 Corinthians 1. Now, I didn't mark this, but I got to thinking about it right as I was ended up and just about to leave the house, and I decided that I'd put this down here, but I didn't have time to copy and paste or type out all the verses. But I want to read this to you. The things that we think are unnecessary, the things that we think God can't use, and that's probably what was going on here is these people were standing around. The disciples had already asked, how is it that or who is it that sinned? Was it this man or his parents? And Jesus answered them simply, it was neither. And I don't know exactly why that happened, why that was said, other than that we have the same idea that we believe someone sins and therefore God passes judgment, when in actuality some things come in our lives so that God can get glory, as was the case with this man here. But in verse number 6, it reminded me of these verses in 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Could you imagine you're there with Jesus and this man is needing his sight given to him, not restored because he never had it. This man is given his sight and God takes the one thing that has been used negatively and the one thing that nobody thinks could work and causes a man to see. I would like to establish to you this afternoon that God is still working this way, miraculously. Am I making my point clear today? Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? God took the very base thing. God took the very small, insignificant thing. He took dirt from the ground. He took spit from his lips. And he created a bomb that changed this man's life. It is often the things that we think God cannot use that God does in fact use to change the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. I want to read on in 1 Corinthians because it gets gooder. Amen. Hear what the Lord says in verse number 20. Where is the wise? How come them Pharisees couldn't perform any healing? How come those religious Bible scholars didn't have the power to look at that man and spit on the ground and mix up some spittle and wipe some clay on his eyes and give that man sight? After all, these were the church leaders. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Don't you dare limit God on what He can use. Don't you dare limit God on what He can do. Don't you dare limit God on how He can use something that you view as worthless. God can take that thing and make something great out of it. Like give somebody some spiritual insight. Amen. Oh, preacher, I don't know if God's ever going to work in my family. You just keep on praying. Lord, I don't know if you're ever going to do anything in my family. I don't know if you're ever going to mend this relationship. I don't know if you're ever going to open the eyes of this blind person that's spiritually blind. I don't know if you're ever going to save my uncle or my granddaddy or my daddy or my mama or my sister or my brother. I don't know if you're ever going to work. You just keep giving the things to God and let Him work it out. My goodness. We think we got to see a miraculous thing happen. We look for lightning strikes when God works in whispers. Y'all remember Elijah, don't you? Elijah, let me say his name right. Said they wasn't in the earthquake, it wasn't in the wind, wasn't in the great fire that God spoke, but in a still, small voice, God spoke to His prophet Elijah and did a great and mighty work through Elijah. And thank God for that Bible story. We want strikes of lightning. We want incredible things. We want amazing things to amaze our eyes. And God is sitting beside us, whispering all the while through His Holy Ghost, saying, trust me, believe me, look to me. Listen. Y'all okay this morning? Trust me, look to me, listen to me, reading my Word, getting the Bible. Go to church. Get strength from God's people. The things that we view as worthless are the things that God uses to change our lives. It happened here for this man in verse number 6. He spat on the ground and he made clay of the spittle and he anointed the eyes of the blind man. This clay, it would have been the mud-like consistency. If you don't know what mud is, go find a bare spot in your yard when you get home that might have had a little snow on it. You'll find out real quick what mud is. Made this clay. It was something that was easily applied and it was pliable. Jesus took the earth and He mixed it with His spit and He created a life-changing ointment to this blind man. The Bible says, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. See, I can't help but see God's plan of salvation in this simple work that Jesus did. God took a flesh and blood body, the earth, and he applied his DNA, the spit. Y'all right? You think about that. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Do you know there's another liquid in our body that contains our DNA? Spit. The very structure of the human life, of the life of God, was in that spit that went on the ground. It's a little bit more than spit, y'all. And he took that earth and he took that spit and he spat on the ground. He applied his DNA to that and he provided healing and sight to that blind man. It was the application of the clay. John 9:4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me. The work of Jesus was to bring God glory, and he brought salvation for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Let's take a look at verse number 7. The Bible says, and he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Sometimes the Lord healed people by a simple word of command, and sometimes he employed means, but with or without means, God is the one that done the healing. Time out. Here's my issue with the so-called faith healers of today. Not one of them stops and says, to God be the glory. I have been imparted this ability to heal someone who is sick. They say, let me touch you. You imagine that? You imagine that? You sitting in church on Sunday morning, I come by you and I go, I don't know what I'd do if you didn't fall backwards. It's almost as if it's staged. Almost. People are so impoverished for the Word of God that they're willing to believe a lie if it means it will ease their pain. And we have generations that are coming up that are seeing this foolishness. That's what it is. Where man gets the glory and they leave God out. If it takes glory away from God, it is not of God.
Amen. Amen.
Friend of mine, if it brings you glory, or if it brings the preacher glory, or if it brings the evangelist glory, and it does not glorify God, there is something wrong with that, and that is outside the guidelines of the Bible. Amen. Which is our book for faith and practice. Time in. And so, Jesus told this man to go. Oh, nope. I'm getting ahead of myself. We see the command that Jesus gives the man. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. So let's break that little phrase down right there. Go, wash in the pool of Siloam. And we'll look at go, which is by interpretation, sent here in just a minute. But the first word is go. He was obedient. That's the only thing that God told him to do. He didn't say, I want you to remix the clay. He said, I just want you to go to the pool of Siloam. I'll apply the balm that you need. All I want you to do is go to the pool of Siloam. That's all I want you to do. And so the man was obedient, and he went and he did what God had required of him. The Lord Jesus had required of him. See, I want you to know something. Obedience requires energy. And there are a lot of people that want the blessings of God, but they don't want to lift a finger to obtain them. So he told him to go, and this man went. And as he went, God was blessing him. God was giving this man sight. This man was blind.
Come on, preacher.
We read over those words so carelessly. This man had never saw the light of day. And now God is dawning in his heart the spiritual light, the physical light, the mental light, the emotional light. This man, for the first time in his entire life, is being illuminated by the word of the Lord. Amen. Do you not see the significance in this? And he told him to wash. Obedience to divine commandments are purifying. Psalm 119 and verse number 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." You want your ways to be clean? You got something that's not quite right? Take heed to the Word of God. Get in the Bible, get in the Word of God, and let the Word of God wash you and cleanse you. Notice where Jesus told him to go. He told him to go to the pool of Siloam, which is my interpretation, sent. The word Siloam means sent. Christ in the book of John is often referred to as the sent one, S-E-N-T. John 3:17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." John 5:37, "And the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape." John 6, verse number 57, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father." John 7:29, "But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." John 8, and verse number 18, "But I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." John 8 and verse number 29, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Jesus being the sent one pictures that we must go through the Lord Jesus for healing from our spiritual blindness. This man went his way therefore, and he washed, and he came seeing. He was prompt in his submission to the Lord's command, and the product of that submission was that he was healed. The miracle happened. The man could now see. That's what happened to this man. Y'all still with me? Let's look at verse number 8. Now this is where it gets real fun for me, because I don't have any notes for that. But I ain't got no liberty to quit. I've studied down through verse number 12. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged?" Now we've got a whole new dynamic opened up about this man's life. Not only was he blind, but he is a beggar. Blindness in those days typically produced beggarly elements in your life. Nobody cared for you. There was no social security program to sign anybody up on that had been born blind. There was no welfare program to help someone who had a disability and could not see. We do know that his parents were alive, but obviously they were not in any kind of financial position to help their son who was grown, who was of age, is what they say to him when the church leaders talk to them. We'll talk about that here next week or so. I don't know exactly when the Lord will let us get to that part of the story, but it's coming. So we know this man had parents. We know this man had a family. But for whatever reason, even though he had parents, even though he had a family, this man sat and begged. He was blind. This man was in an extremely low state of life until Jesus came along. He had no way to make his own money. He had no ability to get up and work. He was blind. And so this blindness had stricken him to the point where he absolutely and utterly couldn't do anything for himself. Can you imagine how it must have been trying to walk? Groping along. There may have been tools that they could use. Not long ago, I was walking through one of the schools, and in the schools that I work in, one of the schools, as I was walking through there, there was a young man, and he had a lady with him, and she was 3 or 4 feet ahead of him. And they were walking down a hallway, and she told him, she called it something, but I'm going to call it, for me not knowing any better, I called him to, told him to let out his stick. And so the young man quite literally threw out a stick from out of his hand, and it unfolded kind of like a tent stake or something would do, but it unfolded. I don't know what the real name for those things is, a blind person stick. Not trying to be funny, I'm just, I don't know what it's called. I'm sorry. You study it, Google it, not while we're in church. But you can text me and let me know if there's a real name for it. But this young man, he threw that stick out and he held on to the handle of it and it began to go probably about a 6 foot radius around him. Them hallways are about 12 foot wide. They're pretty good sized hallways, and he's walking down through there, and she would count to him, and she would 1, 2, 3, and she would go, now you're here, and she would describe what everything looked like, and he just kept going, and he would get to a point where the hall opened up or where it turned, and he would stop, and he knew that whatever, I think it was a something on the end, a little rubber piece on the end of it, when it didn't stop where it was supposed to, he knew that there was a difference, so he would stop, and he would wait for her to tell him. See, this man didn't have anyone to do that for him. This man didn't have anyone that was willing to work with him and willing to tell him, hey, the environment that you're in is treacherous. He didn't have anybody to say there's a rock in your path, you might fall. And so his only thing that he could do was to sit and beg that somebody would help him. I'm sure glad that Jesus came along. And he gave him a whole lot more than money. The neighbors, therefore, they looked at him and they knew that it was him that sat and begged. He was blind. And they said, is not this him? I mean, isn't this the guy that we knew that, hey, just this morning, he was sitting there begging, asking somebody. And maybe the neighbors were a little less than compassionate. You know, oh, here's that guy again. I just don't know why his mom and daddy don't get him somewhere. Did I strike a chord there? Seeing somebody destitute in need of help, I wish somebody would come along and help them. That man's blind. He ain't had a bath in years. I ain't helping you. There might even been some say, get a job, man. You ain't really blind. Spiritually, we treat people that way. Here they are, destitute, standing on the side of the road, begging, or sitting on the side of the road, begging, sitting somewhere. Maybe somebody had a little bit of compassion, put him somewhere that Jesus would pass by. And they knew who he was. The neighborhood understood who he was. The neighborhood fully were aware of what and who he was and what he was doing there, and yet none of them helped him. God helps societies. God help churches that won't help weak Christians. Did you know this, church? You look around, and maybe it's yourself, but you find the weakest Christian in here. Maybe it's the guy in the pulpit that's the weakest Christian in the room. That's how strong our church is. That's the strength of our church. You want to know the strength of our church? Find the weakest Christian in the room. That's in our congregation, maybe not even in the room. That's the power of our church. Puts things in perspective, doesn't it? He chose the weak and beggarly elements of the world to confound the wise. Absolutely, he can work. He can do some amazing things with people that are weak, but the weakness of individuals is the strength of the church. That's as strong as we are. They knew who he was. They knew what he was capable of. They knew where he was from. And they said, is not this he that sat and begged? Verse 9 says, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. You imagine those that would say, man, yeah, that's the guy. And others were skeptical of the work of grace that had happened in his life. And so instead of saying, yes, The Lord did something miraculous with this weak man. They look at him and say, oh, that's not even the same guy. I'm going to jump to verse number 10 because it kind of goes along with it. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? See, when we see a work of grace in somebody's life, instead of it producing jealousy because God done something in their life for them, it ought to produce curiosity. And we look and say, how did God do that? What did God do in your life? How were your eyes opened? How did you get this illumination? How did you get to where you are? You were a beggar this morning. You're walking around seeing everything this afternoon. How did this happen? In verse number 11, he gives probably the most profound answer that a Christian could ever give. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Y'all ready for this? He wasn't no theologian. He didn't understand all the letters of the law. This blind man had no prior knowledge of Jesus or who he was. He just simply believed. Y'all okay? Some of you got it, some of you don't. I don't know if I can get it any plainer. Here is this man who has been under question, and the questions are going to get more intense as the day goes on. And he looks at him and says, I don't know everything about him, which is really odd considering all of the things that were going on in the ministry of Jesus at that time in his life. It's really amazing that the man did not know exactly who he was. And we don't find him like the other blind men. We find the other blind men crying out to Jesus. But he's not crying out. Jesus comes to where he is and he meets him in the condition that he is and he gives him his sight, praise the Lord. This man didn't know anything about Jesus. He didn't have to be a great scholar in the writings of the law or in the letters of the law. He just simply had to believe on the one that made spittle and rubbed it on his eyes. And because of that, he received his sight. Just that simple. Just that easy. There was no red tape to cut through. There was no training program. I'm for discipleship. I love discipleship. I believe we're to disciple all that we can. But this man wasn't discipled before he got delivered. I believe he began to grow and learn more, and we'll look into that as the Lord. Y'all okay today? Here is this man who was blind, and he don't even know how it is that he got his sight other than a man named Jesus passed by his way. And McCamey sung that old song, Jesus passed by my way, and he made me whole that day. Just a sinner was I, but when Jesus passed by, and oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by. Won't you let him pass your way today? Are you blind spiritually? Is there scales over your eyes? You got some reason that you don't want to see or can't see or not able to see for whatever reason? Maybe you're born that way. Spiritually, you're born destitute. Spiritually, you are at enmity with God. Jesus passed by your way today. And he wants you to have your sight. But you might have to go and wash in the one that got sent. and let Him help you. Father, Lord, I thank You for another privilege to preach. I thank You for another opportunity to stand before Your people. Lord, another opportunity to be online. Lord, another opportunity to publish the Word of God. Lord, I ask that You would help. I ask that You would move. Lord, I pray if there be someone that does not know You and the free pardon of sin, that today, Lord, before they leave, they would come to the saving knowledge of You, Lord. Lord, maybe they're sitting and begging, needing something that only You can give to them. Lord, I pray that You would work a work that only You can work, and You would get glory. Have Your will in Your way, Savior. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us this morning or this afternoon while we sing?
Page 368.